Welcome to another message from Citizen Heights. We are located in the nation's capital where our heart is to inspire hope, remove limitations, and help you experience God's possible for your life. Join Pastors Michael and Heather Jarreau in their passion to help you live out your best life. We hope you enjoyed today's encouraging and uplifting message.
Welcome, ladies. We're just getting started. Can you believe it? I'm so proud of the amazing women that God has in this house, in our family. Aren't you proud of your sisters tonight? I know in one evening we really only get a chance to highlight a couple, but we could talk all night about the amazing women in this room and the amazing gifts and talents and purposes and promises that God's put in the hearts of each and every one of us. And, you know, I appreciate Katie and what she was sharing and what a wonderful thing. I love when we come together to hear about what God is doing in the heart, through the lives and hearts of the women in our church. And what I really appreciate, too, is that it's not an either or, it's an and both. Do you know that we don't have to disconnect from the church to do something outside of the church? Amen. But rather the community that we're in, the church, our pastors, the people that we have, our mentors in our lives, should empower us further, right? To be able to go out from these four walls and accomplish all that God's put in our hearts to do. And so I'm inspired. And I know that sometimes living in a world that's full of sadness, right? Full of tragedy, full of hard things. Just watch the news for 10 minutes and it can be overwhelming. But you know what? In the midst of the overwhelm, we are called to do something, right? Instead of nothing. Because we can't do it all. Let's be honest. We can't do it all. And it's overwhelming. It's easy to scroll through, isn't it? We get in that scroll through culture with social media where it's just like we scroll past the tragedy. We scroll past these things. But I'm so excited to see what God is doing in and through your lives. So Katie, thank you. Pastor Stevie, thank you for blessing us with your amazing gifts. And I just want to say a quick thank you, first of all, to all of you for being here. Thank you again for coming. I know I've said it already, but thank you for taking your time. I know how full our schedules are and how busy life can be, but this is such a strategic and important moment for us to be in together and to lean in, like Ashley was saying, and to be present for what God is speaking, because he has something specific for each of us for sure. I want to say a quick thank you to all of our team, Heights Sisterhood team. If you could just wave at me quickly. Thank you for all the hard work that you put in. We honor you and we appreciate you. And how about our guys who are serving all day? Amazing. So many of our guys that you can see in this room and also behind the scenes, organizing, parking cars, helping. We're just blown away by their sacrifice and service. And also the generosity of so many of the women in our church, just to name a few, for so many incredible, these were incredible donations. These were legit, right? Giveaways that we had tonight. Paula, thank you from your company for blessing us. Kathy Dixon also helped with a bunch of production that you're going to see still in a few minutes. And then also Wendy Caputo and Sally Jacobs, just to name a few, so many generous women in our house who just have the gift of giving and love to give and really honestly can't get enough of it. It's like they're addicted to giving. So we get to be the benefactors of that. So I just want to welcome you. Also, Ashley mentioned our Fairfax girls are here tonight, some of them. And so we're super excited to have all of our girls from Fairfax. Also, we have a bunch of college students here, I'm pretty sure, sprinkled throughout. So we're very thankful for all of our girls. We are your home away from home, and we love you, and we cherish you, and we're so excited that you're here with us. You're such a part of our family, even if you're just getting settled in D.C. and getting through your midterms or whatever it is that you just got through. We're cheering you on and so excited that you're with us tonight. And so I'm going to get started. Are you pumped? Yes. Oh, one more person I just want to honor. And this is a guest, a personal guest of mine. And normally we don't call people out who are personal guests, but this woman is a friend to our church. And I'll just tell you a real quick background. I don't know if you remember back in 2015 when David and Gaina Davila is a diplomat for the United States, and she was over serving She's a part of our church, a leader in our church. She was serving in Bangladesh, and it was supposed to be a pretty safe assignment, but it just became quickly unsafe because ISIS kind of honed in and began to strategically attack some different areas. And so in that building where all of the diplomats and ambassadors, everybody was living there, right? They were there. It was kind of in lockdown. And so we actually started streaming our services over to Dhaka. And at the time, we were still the city church, remember, way back then? And so we had a campus, City Church Dhaka, right out there, and God was doing amazing things. And so the ambassador there for the United States at the time is here with us this evening. It's Marsha Bernicket, Ambassador Marsha Bernicket. Thank you. This is a woman who is devout in her faith, and if you have the privilege of meeting her, you know, I appreciate her candor. She's down to earth. She's very humble, but wow, she's a woman who's leading, who is leading so humbly, so full of faith, leading in a place where, I mean, come on, of all the places to be a woman in leadership, this was not an easy assignment, and we honor you for your leadership and for your devotion to our nation, but also just welcome you as a friend to Heights Sisterhood tonight. Thank you for being here. Beautiful. Wow, so what a journey we're on, ladies, as a sisterhood. This is our gathering number 4. Gathering number 4. We only do 2 a year, and so we're very, very excited that we get to be here together, and we put a lot into the evening, and I hope that you're not going to feel in a rush to leave, because I know that God has something that he wants to put in our hearts, amen, that he's already began with the ladies. Some of the ladies know a little bit of the theme, but he is weaving this beautiful tapestry together already by the Holy Spirit, through just some of the words that have already been spoken, through the songs that we sang, through the time that we had downstairs. How many of you loved, did you get a massage? Was it amazing? Wasn't the food pretty? The food was so pretty. It was so beautiful and yummy, and cake pops, okay. So much fun, right? So much fun. Did you see, we had pink. Did you see the pink backdrop? And I know I had some questions, okay, because here we are, women, a group, a city of powerful women. Someone's like, why pink? It's women's ministry. Is that why you chose pink? Literally, okay. So settle down. Why pink? I have 4 boys. I haven't gotten to do a thing with pink their whole lives. So we had a pink little bit in our branding. Just the tiniest bit, because I wanted to, okay? And so that's why the pink. So we'll clear that up in Jesus' name. That's why the pink. Because blue is great, but I've had it up to here with blue. Okay. So what an exciting journey we've been on together, discovering not only a deeper relationship with Jesus, but also with each other, right? And the idea behind Heights Sisterhood is not because women don't have a voice in the local church, right? We know that that's not true. But it's a time for us to come together to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, to empower one another in a culture where women, we are each other's enemy, right? We are each other's kind of competition. Maybe outside your group of friends, maybe outside your own personal sisterhood. Women are not seen as those who come together and fight for one another. But I believe that God is raising up women, his daughters, to look past all the normal things that should divide us and to bring us together in unity, to add strength. And I believe that the enemy is afraid of it. I believe that the enemy is afraid of it. And so one of the plans of the enemy in our culture is to divide women. But God's plan is to bring us together in unity, to strengthen us, to empower us, and to for us to each in turn be cheering each other on, speaking life over one another. Amen? And when we have a rough time, how many of you know that there are going to be struggles in life? And you know what? That's when we need each other the most. And so it's not just for these moments where everything seems great, but it's for the real raw moments where everything isn't great. And you know what? You've got sisters to lean on. You've got sisters to call. You've got somebody that you can say, hey, this is going on. This is the mistake that I made. I need prayer. I need your help. So I want to dive into our message. I'm definitely going to need more time than what's up on that clock. So I'm excited about the journey we've been on. How many of you believe that God has a plan and a purpose for your life? Amen. We hear it all the time. We hear all the time about God's plan and purpose for our life. But I don't know about you, but sometimes somewhere between where I began my journey of faith to where I'm going to finish it a long time from now, right? When I go to heaven, when I get to heaven, there's a lot of things in between. And tonight I want to talk a little bit about the in-between. I want to talk a little bit about the process of the in-between, because it's amazing to start your journey of faith, but it's all the in-between stuff that we get hung up on, right? It's not at the beginning where the enemy tries to come against us. It's usually in the in-between. It's usually when life has twists and turns, things that are unanticipated, things that are unexpected. Like any journey, like any story, our faith journey has a beginning, a middle, and an end, right? And the beginning is awesome, and the end concludes, but it's the middle where everything gets crazy, right? And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I've had a little more crazy than I can handle. Are you with me? And I know that when we come to church and we talk about faith and we feel like maybe we're supposed to kind of glaze it over and just ice it over and pretend. But you know what? This is not a place for pretending. This is not a time for pretending. This is a time to get real about our faith and to really know what God says about us, to really know what the Bible says about us, who we are in Christ. And so we've been on this journey together, and in our first gathering, we talked all about the relationship that God desires to have with each and every one of us. The second time we got together in our gathering, we talked about our identity in Christ. How many of us remember little tiny Elisa up here with all those labels on her, right? I like needed to let her do the labels on me. I have more like surface area than her, but I don't know why I chose the littlest girl, but anyway, she did a great job. So anyway, just talking about the labels that the world puts on us, the labels that maybe family has put on us, the labels that we put on ourselves, the lies that over time we take in, and how the Bible is the truth of what God thinks about us, amen? And how it is not just the Bible says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And how we grow in faith and trusting God and believing him as we grow in our knowledge of the Bible. And so last time we got together, we had a powerful time as we talked about the idea of forgiveness. Such a big key, letting go of the past. Letting go of the past, understanding who I am in Christ, that I am completely loved, that I am completely accepted, but also forgiving myself. Forgiving those who I'm holding things against and allowing my past to really be that in the past. Amen? And fixing my eyes on Jesus, pressing forward, moving forward. So tonight I want to open our Bibles to James chapter 1. And I want to read a couple of verses, 2-4 from the NIV. Because I believe that if we're going to make it to the end, we have to figure out how to do this middle part, right? And there's things about the middle part that nobody wants to talk about because it's really not that fun, you know? Like if you're selling a line of merchandise, the word obedience wouldn't probably be the thing that you put on the front, right? Or consistency, right? Come on. Or faithfulness. Or perseverance. Tonight I want to talk to you about this middle part. I call it the process of God in your life. I call it the journey, whatever you want to call it. It is God working in your everyday life to make it beautiful. Does anyone here like to cook? I don't. I do it so much. I do not like to cook, okay? But I have eaters. I have a house full of eaters. Every day, the same question. What's for dinner? Is there any food? What do you have for me to eat? So I cook, okay? But you know what I really love and I really respect is people who love to cook and are great at it. I was watching this show the other day with Easton. He's my only friend left. Not really. My boys are here. I shouldn't say that. He's my buddy. We watch TV together. And we're watching this show where they take like anticipated holiday ingredients, right? And they make it into something amazing that is like so much better than you could even imagine. Just the everyday stuff that you have, and they create something so beautiful. And you know, God is like that with us. When we come to faith, we give God our everyday expected, inconsistent ingredients. Nothing that wows. And he takes our ordinary and he makes it into extraordinary through faith. He takes our natural and he makes it supernatural. Amen. And it's through the power of his word. It's not through the power of positive thinking. It's not through the power of becoming a self-made woman and relying on yourself and isolating and not trusting anyone else around you. It isn't. It's the opposite of what the world says. It's through the power of Jesus. And so tonight I want to talk to you about that because James has something to say. He has something to say, and again, it's not selling t-shirts, but here we go. It's truth. Ready? James 1, verse 2 through 4 says this, consider it pure joy, my sisters. We're leaving the brothers out of it tonight. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing, lacking nothing. This is amazing because James is talking to a group of people who are in the middle of persecution. He's written to the 12 tribes of Israel who are scattered abroad and they're under oppression by the Roman government. And they've lost their homes and they've lost their businesses and they've lost everything that they knew to be normal and right and good, and they don't even have a place to worship. And James says to them, point blank, count it pure joy. When I think about pure joy, I think about the best memory you have, the happiest moment of your life. Whatever that means to you, that's what James is saying. And he knows exactly who he's talking to. It's like someone who has a dear loved one of theirs that just passed away and you wrote them a letter that said, you know what, you need to count this pure joy. It almost feels offensive. It almost feels offensive. It hurts a little bit. But I'm here to tell you tonight that sometimes we have to hear things that are hard in order to get through to the other side of where God wants to take us. Because when we are in church, when we talk about Jesus and we talk about faith, you know, we want the promises that God has over here. We want to live in the fulfillment. We want to have the promises of God and the abundance of God and the fulfillment of what he has to offer us. But you know what? It's going to take some to get there. He has a journey. He has a road. There's going to be trials. There's going to be sorrow. There's going to be suffering. And you know what's best? Maybe you're in the middle of it right now. We need to make up our minds as women of faith that we know when we get to that spot, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to respond. And we need to be joined arm in arm with women of like faith so that we can get through it. Because you know what? You're not called to get through this journey alone. So he says, so he marries these two ideas of trials and pure joy. Count it pure joy when you hit the hardest time of your life. When you think you can't go forward, there's joy. Wow, this is mind-blowing. When you meditate on this, God, what are you saying? He says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Why is God allowing bad things to happen to me? Why is this happening? God doesn't cause bad things to happen to you. Let's get our theology right. I'm so sick of hearing that. Kanye said it the other day. I watched his interview. He's so new, and I'm so happy for him, you know? But he was like, God's letting all these struggles happen. I'm like, dude, you made some bad choices, so maybe that's why the struggles were happening. But you know what? I'll tell you what. God's going to take our everyday ingredients and he's going to rework it into something beautiful. And if he can do it for him, he can do it for you. Amen. So God does not make bad things happen. We live in a fallen world. Thank you, Adam and Eve. We live in a fallen world where we live amidst the consequences of sin, whether it's your own choices or the generations that have come before you. It's just the facts. And God's plan of redemption was not to come down and superhero us out of there. His plan of redemption was to cause us to engage our faith, to put our faith in him, and for him to walk us through the struggle. for him to walk beside us to teach us perseverance and deepen our faith so we could not only get through the struggle to the other side, so that we could take many, many people with us. So he says here, count it pure joy when you encounter these trials on your journey, because it's going to do something inside of you that you never could have gotten any other way. Never could have gotten there any other way. I know on a small scale, we've all experienced this, right? We're willing to say, you know what, it was that time of training that I did, or that time of stretching with school. It's amazing what you are able to do, right? When you're leaning in and stretching towards something, it's incredible. This is kind of what James is getting to here. He says there's something that God wants to do inside of you. So you need to recognize this, not as, oh gosh, what are you doing with my life, God, and setting your hair on fire, but count it pure joy and just decide, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it, all these things, to stand in faith. Amen? To stand in faith. I want to give you some keys to perseverance tonight. I want to give you some keys because there's some real things that I know in my own life that have tripped me up. And after being a pastor for almost 20 years, I have sat and cried and prayed and heard stories and listened to people. And I can tell you right now that maybe I have some wisdom for you, right? From the Bible, from experiences, to get us through to the other side. The first thing is, number one, recognize the true enemy. Recognize the true enemy. Can I encourage you tonight? The true enemy is doubt. The true enemy is doubt, and we have to go all the way back to the beginning to see this. We go all the way back to Eve. I don't know if I like her or if I want to punch her in the face. Okay? The serpent. What does it say? I have it. Chapter 3 of Genesis tells us about Eve, right? Where is my... I'm getting ahead. Okay, here we go. 3:1, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The enemy's plan has not changed. He comes to you in a vulnerable moment, in a quiet moment, when you're all alone, and he says, did God really say that? Is that really true? Is that promise that I gave her really going to happen? Am I really enough? But I did this, and I don't have the right family, or I don't have the right education, or I don't have the right bank account, or I don't have the right blah. Don't we have our lists? Lord, girls, we have lists. Did God really say? The plan of the enemy is to sow doubt. To doubt God, to doubt the word of God, to doubt the will of God, to doubt what he says about you, your identity in him, who he says you are, and frankly, who he is, who God is to you. The enemy has a way of casting doubt over the promises of God. He comes in a convenient moment to whisper lies into your ears. It's amazing how his plan, the plan of the enemy, has not changed. And here's another thing that I get from this, is that the serpent in these verses goes on to say, did God really say that you can't eat from any of the trees in the garden? That's not at all what God said. But it was partially what God said. The enemy brings truth, and he twists it. He knows you're too smart for him to bring lies, complete lies. So he brings a version of the truth, and he twists it to make you think that God's way is limiting. Well, if you wait for the man that God has for you, you might miss out. If you obey God in this area of your life, I don't know, you're not in control. And he brings this doubt to doubt, basically, when we give into that, we're doubting the nature of God. The nature of God's goodness that says, I know what is best. I have your best in mind, and my best is going to be better than you could ever have manufactured for yourself. And we say this, and we hear it in church, and we know it, but in the middle of the heat of the moment, we doubt. Ladies, let's recognize what our true enemy is. Amen? I named this talk, I don't know if they put it up yet, but I named this talk in honor of our Washington Nationals Stay in the Fight. So there's that. So we're talking about staying in the fight, right? Recognizing the true enemy. The second kind of doubt that I think is so prevalent is self-doubt. Ladies, you are stronger than you think. And the enemy is great at reminding us. And you know what? We don't almost need the enemy for that. We do it for ourselves. Come on. We're so hard on ourselves. You are stronger than you think. The Bible says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It is his idea that you are full of his power, and he gives you the power to overcome the enemy, and he gives you love more than abundant that you need, and he gives you a sound mind. Have you ever been in a season of your life where things are so crazy that you don't even think you can think straight? Like you can't even think. That is the moment when you say, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. And you stand on the word and you fight for your sound mind. You get in his presence and you say, God, I need you to bring rest to my soul because I can't do this alone. Amen? I can't do this alone. But he brings this thing of self-doubt. We doubt ourselves. We doubt that we're not enough. We doubt that we're not good enough, that we're not spiritual enough, that we're not strong enough, that we don't know enough of the Bible, and that we can't pray out loud in King James. Whatever it is, that video reel of all the mistakes we've made and all the reasons why God isn't going to help us in our time of need. This is when God takes all that stuff and he's that chef in the kitchen and he works it all things together for good. And he's working on something that is so amazing and so beautiful and so beyond what you could ever imagine. You can't even believe that all that mess could turn into something beautiful, but that's his job. He is the potter. We are the clay, but we can't keep taking ourselves off the wheel with our self-doubt. 2 Peter 1:3-4 says in the Passion Translation, it says, everything that we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power. It is called faith. It is standard issue. Everybody gets the same. I don't get more than you. You don't get more than me, but you have to grow it. You have to build it. You have to read your Bible. You have to decide here in the middle, here in this time, when trials come your way, that you're not going to lay down and be a wimp about it. I know. It's kind of mean. And it's hard for me to be mean. But I think that sometimes we need somebody to kick us in the butt and say, you know what? Quit your crying. You are a daughter of the King. Quit your fussing. You're a daughter of the King. Yes, you've made mistakes. It's not because you're perfect that you're his daughter. It's because you're surrendered that you're his daughter. It's because you're available, that he loves you. Don't hold back from him. Don't disqualify yourself. His blood is covering you. His blood is enough. It says, for all of this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. Did you know he has called you by name? He has called you by name. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that you are beyond all price. So that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. In this trial, in the middle, wherever you are on your journey, all the struggle, all the trouble, all the hardship, make a decision that you're going to trust God, that you're going to believe him, that you're not going to die where you are. That he is who he says he is, and he does not leave his people begging bread, amen? He does not leave his people abandoned, that he is our refuge. He is our strength in time of need. We can run to him. He is our safe place. So that thing that comes to limit us, to limit our perseverance, that doubt. The second thing I think that we need to understand in order to persevere is that we simply have to trust God's timing. We simply have to trust God's timing. It says in 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9, don't overlook the obvious here, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. God isn't late with his promise, as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end, because he doesn't want anyone lost. God knows that if he gives you what you're asking for now, you can't handle it. You're going to think maybe it's because of you. You're going to think maybe something else. God, in his infinite wisdom, sees the end from the beginning, and he allows the struggle and he allows the strain because he knows that in it you're going to find him and you're going to trust him. So powerful. He's giving everyone space and time to change. Isn't that amazing? My example from the Bible here is Sarah. Sarah in the Old Testament. Now, we're not super celebrating her tonight, although she was an amazing woman, but Sarah was a woman with a promise, much like all of us. She was married to Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, and she was promised by God that she would have an heir, and in so, she would become the mother of nations. And the timing of God wasn't really going according to her plan, so she decided to come up with her own plan. You ever do that? Just be honest, right? Thank you, Ashley, for acknowledging that, you know, we need to be honest in church. If there's ever a spot to not steal the giveaway, it's here. Well done, ladies. Right? Oh, my gosh. Trust God's timing. So Sarah decided for her servant to make a baby with her husband. I think that's called desperation, ladies. Do you ever get so desperate to see the plan of God come about in your life that you do some pretty stupid things? And I'm not here to throw Sarah under the bus, but I'm here to draw inspiration and hope for all of us. If Sarah wasn't perfect, surely God's not judging us for our imperfections on the journey. But we have got to get to a place where we're going to say, yes, God, I trust your timing. I can't find a man in D.C., so I'm not going to move to Alaska so I can find him because the population of men is a lot. The odds are good, but the goods are odd. And I wait right here in the city that you've called me to for the man that you have for me, because guess what? It's only going to take one. All right now. We need to trust his timing. Sarah went outside of the plan and purposes of God, and God worked it all together for good, but there's literally still a conflict on the earth because of that decision. Through Ishmael, the people, the nation that was born is still in conflict, right? Or through Hagar, the nation that was born, Ishmael. Did I say that right? Yeah, I'm correcting it. Still in conflict with the nation of Israel. Our decisions matter. Our choices matter. Our ability to stand firm in faith and say, God, I'm going to trust you. It matters. And it takes perseverance. It takes the not so pretty moments where you're on your face before God and you're crying out to him and saying, God, you know what? I don't see a way forward, but I'm not leaving here until you give me peace. The Bible says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Come on. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication. And then the peace that passes understanding, the peace that you don't understand, the peace that you shouldn't have, because the obvious situation is out of control. That peace will guard your heart, and it will guard your mind, and you'll come out of it not needing more medication. You'll come out of it with some perseverance, with some character, with a little bit of an attitude. Saying, you know what? If God did it before, he can do it again. Come on, enemy, what do you have next? Amen? I'm going to trust the timing of God because I trust the goodness of God because I've read my Bible and I know who he is and I know that his intention for me is great. The last thing I have for you for perseverance, it seems like, you know, I couldn't come up with a third point, but it's really a third point. Never give up. Sometimes I think like we're a little bit fragile. And I'm not trying to be hard on you. And I certainly am not trying to minimize any of the tragedy that takes place in our lives. But we're in the middle of a series right now in our church that I think is powerful. We're talking about eternity. And we're realizing and we're waking up to this idea that what we do now doesn't just affect now, it affects eternity. So there is a lot more at stake than the job, the relationship, the money, the things here. There is an eternity waiting for us that depends upon the now. And I want to encourage you to never give up. To never give up. My example from the Bible for this one is Job. James 5:11 says this, "As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." We know what Job went through, you know? It's like, how insensitive can you be? You sit down with someone and they want to talk to you about what they're going through, and then you just like drop Job on them. Like, nobody went through anything worse than Job, right? That's insane. So it's kind of insensitive, right? I told you it's going to hurt a little bit. But sometimes we need to hear this. Job did not curse God. He did not develop bitterness. Ladies, can I tell you something? There is a difference between brokenness and bitterness. And in this life, we are going to experience brokenness. And I'm not leading a church where it's all like faith and we have to talk about things like and ignore reality. Do you know what I mean? Like everything's all good all the time, and if we say that anything's bad, then we're not full of faith. No, there's real raw emotions involved in a real life that we're living. And there's real tragedy, and there's real loss, and there's real grief, and there's real moments of mourning and moments of devastation. But we have to understand that our journey of faith is a fight of faith, and we can determine now to never give up, to sit in our brokenness, because when you sit in your brokenness, Jesus is there. When you sit in your pain, Jesus is there. When you sit in the middle of loss, He is there. When you are overwhelmed by the past that you have or by the brokenness of others around you, He is not afraid of those things. But we cannot allow bitterness to get in. We cannot allow our faith to be compromised. And when we push through those things, I'm telling you, something supernatural takes place. It's a promise. It's a promise of God, and He will deliver on His promises. He will deliver on His promises. I hear a lot of people talk about, "I'm just so mad at God." Let that not be an option for us. Let that not be an option for us. Don't let the enemy fool you into being angry at God because things have happened that are outside of your control. I know that right now I'm stepping on toes because I know your stories, and some of you in this room, you got to walk away from that temptation. Self-pity is a trap. You know, there's many traps that we have as women. I think comparison is a big one. I think judging is a big one, right? Self-righteousness, pride, selfishness. Self-pity is a trap. Yeah. Do you know why? Because self-pity keeps you where you are. It allows the brokenness to turn into bitterness, and it makes it all about you. When your journey really does need to be at some point where you walk out of those feelings of depression, out of those feelings of anxiety, out of those feelings of being limited, and you recognize that although you feel that way in the moment, you serve a great, big, awesome God who is able to get you through this struggle. He's able to get you through the moment that you're in, because God's timing isn't our timing. These verses that we read, right? His timing is different. One day is as good as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Most of us won't even live 100 years, so I don't even know what this means. You know what I'm taking away from it with my big theology degree? Is that we don't really get God's timing. It doesn't really make sense to us. And we're going to have real moments where we're like, you know, that's great, God, that a day is 1,000 years, but I'm living right now. And these last 8 weeks feel like I'm going to die. I get that. But there is joy in the midst of trials if you can hang on to faith. There is joy in the midst of trials. There is peace that passes understanding. There is support and care and beauty in sharing these moments and undergirding each other and holding each other up in these moments. We have to find a way to never give up. We have to not allow ourselves to get caught up in self-pity. God's truth is our handle. And we have to have something to hold on to. You need to have scripture. Doesn't that sound so old-fashioned? I had someone recently say to me, well, yeah, but I just need more. If you think you need more than scripture and more than God, you don't know God yet. Yes, we need each other. I'm not saying that you can just get through stuff with God, but that has to be your starting place, your foundation. You can't trust anyone, any one person, any human being to be that for you. It begins with Him, with your relationship with Him and your knowledge of the Word. Isaiah 40:29-31 says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. How many of you are going to take hold of that? The over 40 crowd. Hey. Okay, we're going to renew our strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. We are not going to give up. We are going to get through what we're in now, and we're going to get to the end of what God has. And we're going to stand before Him in all the beauty and all the amazingness of His presence. And He is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. And look at all the people that you brought with you. Look at the beautiful family. Look at, you know, the older I get, the more I start thinking about longevity. This idea of longevity, and you know what I'm realizing? Whether it's marriage, career, friendships, anything, it takes perseverance. It takes patience. It takes somebody realizing I have to do the hard work of working every day and just believing and trusting God and putting one foot in front of the other. And it might not feel sexy and it might not feel good all the time, but you know what? It is the plan for success in God. And as you continue to apply His word to your life, you're going to see amazing things happen in your life. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up. I don't know what you're facing today. And again, I'm not trying to minimize it by dropping the Job thing, but Job lost his family. He lost everything. He lost his health. He lost it all, and he lost it all at once. And Job is our example of perseverance. If Job can do it, so can we. He was not special. He was a human being with a nature like ours. And he decided in the midst of the stuff that he's sitting in that he might be broken, but he wasn't going to be bitter. He might be broken, but he wasn't going to allow self-pity and self-doubt and not trusting in God's timing to rob him of the promises of God. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. You ready? Philippians, I'm giving you handles. I hope you're writing these down. I think they're in the notes on the app. Philippians 4:13, I can do what? All things. Guess what the original Greek is on that? All. All of it. All the things. The horrible boss, the weird relationship breakup, the next thing that God has ahead of you, whatever it is you're dreading. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. This is the scripture where you're like, oh, wow, maybe we could just leave that one out. Let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. This is where we need each other. We need each other. You need to start now. If you're in a good season of your life, you need to start now finding relationships that you can be real and honest with. And you know what? Make sure you know that they're going to steer you the right way. I think you should have lots of friends who don't know God because God has a plan for them. But you need to have a few that when you're in a rough time, you go to them and you know what? They're giving you the word. They're giving you encouragement. They're giving you truth because the truth doesn't limit you. It sets you free, the Bible says. The truth will set you free. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And the enemy comes to whisper in your ear that doubt. But you know the truth and the truth sets you free. It takes the limits off of your life. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Let me tell you really quick about God's plan for your life. It's not based on a paycheck mentality. It's based on an inheritance mentality. In fact, I would challenge us here tonight, if you're having trouble in your marriage or in your relationship, maybe you have a paycheck mentality. If I do this for you, then I expect you to do this for me. First of all, we can never repay Jesus, okay? So that's off the table. But here's the thing. This is not a legalistic relationship that we're talking about. It's an inheritance. As I sow in obedience, as I sow in perseverance, as I sow in patience, as I sow in faith, I reap a harvest, an inheritance. I don't get to dictate what that is, but God, who knows me best, pours it out over my life, and I live in the abundance of his goodness, not just in this life, but also in the life to come. Also in the life to come, because it says it is the Lord that you're serving. Maybe you're in a situation and you feel like it's your boss you're serving, or it's your spouse that you're serving, or it's your family that you're serving, or somebody else. You know what? It is God that you're serving in every area of your life. You take this and you make him the master of all those areas of your life, and you begin to sow in as an inheritance. As an inheritance. Matthew 19, 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. We're talking about perseverance. We're talking about eliminating doubt, right? Recognizing the true enemy, trusting his timing, and never giving up. I want you to look at the screen and hear the story of one of our own sisters.
So my name is Patricia
Teard.
But no one's going to say that. So everyone just calls me Patty. Growing up, my dad was incarcerated for some time. And when he was released, he was deported back to Haiti. And my family made the unilateral decision to all go and live together. And it was a rough time, but it was such a warm house and I had a really great family connection. But after a few years, my mom decided that it was best for us to move back to New York City. And she undertook the job of raising me and my brother as a single parent. I'm the first person in my family to go to college. I never imagined that medicine would be a route that I would take, but in 2013, I received an internship from Penn State Hershey to do research, and that led me to a post-baccalaureate internship at the National Institutes of Health in the Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. I never imagined that this would be the career I would go through because I was an average student at best. From 2014 on, my story has been a story of a lot of ups and downs. After I was accepted in the post-baccalaureate program at the NIH, my father suddenly passed away. I hadn't seen him for 13 years. Around the same time, I was applying to medical school. And fortunately, I was accepted into the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences to become a Navy physician. But it got harder from there. Towards the end of school, I failed my first medical school exam. And around that same time, my brother was assaulted. It was early 2018, and I was hanging on by a thread. My sisters here have been the support that I needed to be able to move through and this area and time of growth. Sometimes it meant crying on someone's couch. Sometimes it was having someone on the phone with me when I'm dealing with collectors and trying to negotiate debt down. My sisters here have reminded me that it's God who's in the midst of my situation, that it's He who quiets every single one of my anxious thoughts. And these trials and tribulations have only been to lead me to a place of surrender where I can fully trust Him. I wish I could say that this was the end of my story. And though there have been quite a few battles won, the war is not over. In May of this year, I didn't pass the qualifications to become a Navy officer, and that was really hard. And what you need to understand is that if I don't pass those qualifications, I may not finish my program. And I came to it in a lot of faith, with a lot of support. But I have a new deadline. And I'm not losing heart because I know that because God has been there for me before, that He's gonna meet me on November 27th. Just so we're clear, I've never felt qualified, but God has yet to shut down a door for me. Whenever I felt previously that my pride was enough to carry me through these trials, now I've learned that it's really my faith in God. I don't have to rely on myself or what I can do. I can rely and trust in Him, and He'll carry me through. My story of Barely's is a story of perseverance. It's a story of trusting God and trusting in who He says He is. If it's God's will, I will be a doctor, and I will be a U.S. Navy doctor.
There's so many things that I love about that story. One of the things is that she says, my story is not over. And I think that every single one of us in this room can repeat that. Our story is not over. The other thing I love about that story is it's not a perfect journey. And none of our journeys are going to be perfect, like I said. They're going to be ridden with trial, right? Count it all joy. Just be ready. Ready to face that trial, even in the midst of brokenness, knowing that God is doing something. He is working behind the scenes and seeing to the details of your life to make sure that you are taken care of. We are all in process, and, you know, God gives us assurances in His word, handles that we can hold on to. And He's here tonight to encourage each of us, no matter where we are, stay in the fight. Because the truth is, we have a decision to make. We have a choice. We can take ourselves out of the fight. We can take ourselves out. We can settle for less. We can compromise. And that is only between you and God. There's no judgment. That's between you and your Savior. And we will never know until we are there facing Him, eyeball to eyeball. But God is here tonight to give us strength for the journey, to infuse us with hope, to inspire us by saying, daughter, you are loved. You are accepted. You can do this. No matter what the conditions might be around you, no matter what the circumstances are around you, you know, we look on the outward, but only God can see the heart. And every single one of us has a different starting place. Do you know what I mean by that? So it's a race that you really are running, but you're running it together, but you really are in your own lane. You're not competing against other people, but simply doing it unto the Lord. The fight of faith, where we're implored tonight to not give up, amen? To cast aside doubt and not to allow fear to encumber our hearts. I'm gonna leave you with this last couple of verses in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, do you know you have cheerleaders watching your life from heaven? Those who have gone before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. You know, we all have something. We all have something that tries to pull us down. Let us run with endurance, perseverance, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know what I'm excited about tonight? That He doesn't just start, He finishes. It's about Him. It's not about how strong of a finisher we're going to be. We just got to stay in the fight. We just got to stay in the fight and keep trusting Him. But He's the finisher of our faith. He always comes through. For who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know what that phrase right there? Who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross? What was the joy that was set before Him? What got Him through hanging on that cross? was your face? It was the opportunity to have relationship with his people. It's the heart of a father that's broken because he sees your brokenness and he sees your situation and he just wants to be in relationship with you. It's what got him through. And you know what? It's what's going to get us through. I'm going to invite all of us right now to stand to our feet. And we are going to take a moment, and I'm going to pray over you. But we're going to take a moment to receive ministry from the Holy Spirit and just ask God to help us. And you can stay right at your seat and have this moment of worship and response and reflection. Or we're going to have some prayer partners that are going to come up right now, and they're going to join me in the front. Some of our pastors and leaders, and they're going to be ready to pray with you as the music begins. And I want to invite you to come and to receive prayer, because you know what, ladies? We need each other. We need each other in moments like this. James says that the fervent prayer of a righteous woman accomplishes much work. But you know what comes right before that? That we have to confess our weakness and our area of need one to another. There's something powerful about being transparent and allowing God to begin his restorative healing work in our lives. And I just want to encourage us as the day winds down and as Monday is looming, don't rush away from this moment. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about the condition of our souls and our spirits. And if you have to go, please know, you know me, I don't care. You can go if you need to go. But I want to encourage you to linger in the moment, really focus, and trust that God is going to speak something specifically to you in your heart. Amen.